already. Well, if you recognize that, good for you. And if you didn't, the Dokken theme from the Nightmare on Elm Street movie,
Dream Warriors.
Reason being, thought it would be an appropriate choice because today, October 4th, we're going to be doing a list of the Freddy Krueger kills from the Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Zzz. More than one. There were a bunch. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. So the first, by the way, it was hard to find a complete list, which is weird, right? Wouldn't you think that would be something you'd find immediately? Here's what you find a lot. The top 10 kills, you know, but not all of them. And then we can decide for ourselves. So here we go. Number one was Tina in the first movie. The first and one of the most memorable death scenes is in not only the first film, but the entire franchise. In her second nightmare, while walking into an alley, Tina hears a noise behind her and turns to see the lid of a trash can rolling towards her before settling on the ground. She's then confronted by an image of Freddy Krueger. She runs from him into her backyard towards her house and bangs on the back door, crying out for someone to let her in. Unfortunately, Freddy grabs her and the two tumble on the floor. After a brief struggle, Freddy gets the upper hand and begins killing her. Outside the dream, Rod awakens to find Tina under attack, being slashed, levitating from her bed and flying around the room. Rod is knocked helpless in a corner by Tina's spinning body, from where he watches in horror as Tina is dragged up the wall and across the ceiling before finally dropping dead. I saw this movie. There's this great documentary about the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. It gets a little long, but it's totally worth it. One of the parts is about that, and like they made this giant room that actually rotated, and that's how they filmed it. It's fucking crazy because during almost all of the Freddy movies, they only had practical effects. So it's not this computer bullshit, and they wanted to do these crazy things, and they did. Number two, Rod Lane. Rod Lane. Okay. While asleep in his prison cell, Rod notices his bed sheets wrap around his neck, dragging him out of bed and hanging him from the prison window. Because of circumstances, Rob's death is ruled as a suicide. So far, you know, the Freddy Krueger deaths are not super creative, right? One is he just stabbed her with his crazy glove, and this guy just got hung. Let's move on to Glenn Lance, which is Johnny Depp, by the way. After midnight, Glenn falls asleep while watching his TV and listening to music. Sometimes it's weird what people include in these things. Ultimately, he falls victim to Freddy Krueger in the real world. Freddy drags him into his bed after a giant hole emerges. Okay, by the way, I don't think it mentions this is a waterbed. A geyser of blood then spews out of the hole onto the ceiling as Glenn's body rises from the fountain of blood, then falls onto his bed. I think maybe that's not the waterbed. I could be wrong. Basically, though, gushing blood that, like, gushes so hard it hits the ceiling. Then we've got Marge Thompson. After Nancy covers Freddy Krueger in gasoline and sets him on fire, Krueger rapidly runs to her parents' bedroom and strangles and burns her mother, Marge, to death. It's like, well, while I'm here, I'm going to just really quickly... I mean, that's just, like, a boring one, right? Strangle and a burn. Let's see. Coach Snyder. Now, this is we're in the second movie now. As he's about to have a drink, Coach Snyder appears from behind wearing S&M leather attire and takes Jesse back to the school gym to run more laps. Now, by the way, this second movie has some crazy-ass, like, homoerotic things in it that we, you know, that would be its entire own show, and maybe. Then Snyder sends Jesse to the showers. As Jesse showers, Freddy Krueger makes the sports equipment come to life and wrap around his wrists and drag him to the locker room showers. The ropes then tie him to the shower pipes, and Snyder is then stripped naked. Freddy then makes a towel whip Snyder in the ass, and Jesse vanishes into the shower stream. Freddy emerges from the stream and slashes Snyder's back with his claws, killing him. Ron Grady. When Ron falls asleep, Freddy assumes control of Jesse again, gets a stranglehold of Ron, killing him. Boring. Pool party guest. Freddy takes control of Jesse once again and returns to Lisa's house, where he attacks Lisa and kills six guests, boiling some in the pool and burning some to death while stabbing others. One of the pool party guests was accidentally trampled on. Not, you know, boiling pool. Now we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. The evolution is happening. Carrie Hellman. Hellman. At the end of the film, when she, Lisa, and Jesse are talking on the bus, Carrie tells Jesse that his nightmares are over. Suddenly, Freddy's clawed glove bursts through her chest, killing her as Jesse and Lisa scream in terror. That was another thing. A lot of these movies ended with, like, a, you know, weird whatever. Now we're on to number three, Dream Warriors. This is Philip Anderson. While Philip is asleep, one of the dolls created by him transforms into Freddy. Freddy then uses his glove to slice open Philip's arms and legs, then pulls out his tendons to use them as strings and operate Philip like a marionette. Freddy makes Philip walk to a window, and as the camera pans out, it shows a giant Freddy above cutting the strings, making him fall to his death as Philip's friends and fellow patients watch in horror. Now that's what we're talking about. That's fucked up and crazy and great. I gave that a high rating. Seems like a lot of these, you know, movies have, like, the way I remembered these was they were all crazy. But now I'm starting to remember, like, each one had maybe one or two in it that was, like, super good. Jennifer Caulfield. One night, Jennifer is sitting on the couch in the rec room watching TV and smoking some cigarettes. She's seen watching a talk show with Zsa Gabor and Dick Cavett. She begins to doze off, only to wake herself up immediately by burning herself with the cigarettes to stay awake. But then she dozes off. Cavett turns into Freddy Krueger and attacks Gabor before the TV goes to static. When her remote fails to change the channel, she gets up and turns it manually, but to no avail. Frustrated, she knocks on the TV when two giant mechanical hands emerge from the sides of the TV, grabbing her and lifting her up. Freddy's head emerges from the TV and he shoves Jennifer's head through the screen, electrocuting and killing her. Quote, "This is it, Jennifer, your big break in TV. Welcome to primetime, bitch." He called a lot of people bitch. That was kind of his thing. See, that one was good. I remember that being like kind of a stop motion crazy thing. But yeah, you did not expect, you know, strangling somebody. You're like, eh, whatever. Turning from a TV into a man and Meccano man and using the TV to kill someone. That's what I'm talking about. Das Halloween. Let's see, Taryn White. Taryn finds herself trapped after a wall appears behind her and faces against Freddy in a one-on-one battle. Taryn puts up a good effort, but Freddy materializes her fear by turning his fingers into syringes and injects them into her arms, causing her veins to rush to her head and slowly kill her. That was pretty good. This glove with these syringes on it is what I remember from that. And that's definitely, this is one of the things about Freddy that's interesting, is because, you know, they could get a little in depth with weird fears, right? Let's see. Will Stanton. In the dream realm, Will finds himself in a narrow hallway and is attacked by a wheelchair with spikes that is controlled by Freddy, who is standing behind it. The wheelchair injures his legs, but then Will uses his magical powers to stop the wheelchair in its tracks. Will then attacks Freddy with his wizard lightning, which seems to have an effect until Freddy grabs Will, lifts him up, and pins him against the wall. Freddy then kills him by stabbing him in the chest with his glove.
Sorry, kid, I don't believe in fairy tales.
That was one of those, they like to do this, right? They have a moment where it's like, oh, maybe he is going to win. You know, maybe this guy will beat him, and he won't. I just watched this horror movie, where, you know, it's this lady and she's deaf and she's being, you know, it's like a kind of a home invasion-y kind of thing. And, you know, this other guy comes and is totally about to save her, but then doesn't. And like, but when the guy comes, there's like no tension because you know he's not going to save her. Because you're like, there's definitely still another half hour of this movie. And also, if this guy just came and saved her, that would be like totally pointless, right? Donald Thompson. In a junkyard, Donald Thompson and Dr. Neil Gordon dig up the remains of Freddy Krueger. Suddenly, the skeleton gets up and attacks Dr. Gordon. Thompson tries to attack the skeleton of Krueger, but is stabbed in the stomach by his bladed claw and raised in midair. Freddy then throws Donald onto one of the junked cars, with a shard impaling through the heart, killing him. See, this is what I'm talking about, too. When you kill someone, they have to do it, like, 10 times over. You know, he's got, like, stabbed and raised in the air and whatever, and then impaled also. Nancy Thompson. who was the main protagonist of the original film. Freddy tricks Nancy when he appears as her father, Donald, and stabs her in the ribs and stomach with his glove. After rising a final time to stab Freddy with his own glove before he could get to Kristen, Nancy dies, and Krueger disappears as Neil covers Freddy's remains in the holy water and crucifix and buries the remains. So I think this skipped to the end, but whatever. Okay, Roland Kincaid, who crossed from 3 to 4. Trapped in the dream world, Roland meets his end. Freddy grabs him by the front of his shirt and thrusts his razor-sharp glove into his stomach. As Roland dies, Freddy announces that there are 2 to go. Kincaid appears back in his bedroom, clutching his chest before finally dying. You know, it's interesting about, well, I keep saying, this is really interesting, but like, just a lot of these are, you know, he stabbed him with a glove, and you're like, eh, all right. Joey Cruzell. While he's asleep one night, Joey has a dream in which a naked woman from a poster is swimming inside his waterbed. The woman then disappears, and Freddy slashes his way through the waterbed. He then grabs Joey and dunks him, proceeds to stab him with his blades, then drown him to death, leaving behind a pool of blood. So that must have been the waterbed. Does anyone want to guess? They're in the waterbed. He sees this naked woman from a poster swimming. Where Freddy might be going with his little one-liner. I'll just give you a minute to guess. How's this for a wet dream? Boom. Nailed it. There you go. That's a good one. I can get behind that one. You know, this is the kind of weird mixing of horror and sex that seems to go on that I'm in favor of. Let's see. Kristen Parker, the main protagonist of the third film and the last of the Dream Warriors to die. Kristen is drugged by her mother at dinner, who notices that she's quit sleeping again. Blah, 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 blah. Freddy invades her dreams, burying her through the sand and sending her into his boil room hideout on 1428 Elm Street. He then fights Kristen and forces her to call Alice into her dream in order to have someone new to bring him more victims. Kristen charges towards Freddy in order to protect Alice, but is grabbed by Freddy and thrown into the fiery furnace, slowly burning to death. Before Kristen dies, she passes her power to pull people into dreams to Alice, but the power passes through Freddy first, taking part of himself with it. In reality, Kristen's room is ignited in flames. So that doesn't seem good. That doesn't seem like a good thing. Now we're in 4, thoroughly. Trapped in her desk, Sheila screams for one of the other students to help her, unaware that Alice was trapped in her desk as well. At this point in the dream, Freddy appears at the teacher's desk, and when he comes up to Sheila, he asks if she wants to suck face. He grabs her and starts kissing her, to which he sucks all the air right out of her until she was a dried up husk. In the real world, it appears as if Sheila was suffering an asthma attack. Yeah, like, this is where Freddy sort of started going from just this scary thing to this, like, he's like the original dad joke murderer, really. All right, Rick Johnson. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, Rick finds himself trapped in a kung fu fight with an invisible Freddy Krueger. Cocky once he gets the upper... That, by the way, that seems like a cheap trick. We'll just make Freddy invisible. Well, yeah, Robert Englund wants the day off. Cocky once he gets the upper hand on Freddy by honing in on him and knocking off his glove, like fucking Vega in Street Fighter 2, Rick taunts him. However, Freddy makes his glove lift off from the floor and fly across the room, impaling Rick through the chest, killing him. And the tagline there, sayonara, Rick-san. Oh, boy. Let's see. When lifting a barbell on a weightlift bench, Debbie falls asleep. That seems kind of weird. I'm sure it's happened. But wouldn't you, like, I could see falling asleep on a bench, maybe if you weren't at that moment lifting weights, but to fall asleep on a bench with, like, the weights in the air, that seems odd. While dreaming, she continues working on her muscles until Freddy appears and grabs the barbell and pushes it down so far that it breaks open her elbow like wishbones. Awesome. Her arms then fall off and insect legs sprout. Panicking, Debbie runs away and is later stuck on a floor of glue, which later reveals to be a roach trap, ending up face down. While attempting to pull her face away from the glue, she turns into a cockroach as her face is torn away and the entire roach emerges from her body. Freddy looks in the trap and, like any human being would do to a cockroach, crushes the trap, killing her. I like that. As in, you know, when you start this like sentence with, as any human being would do, you expect it to be like, as any decent human being would do, but it's like, as any human would do, he completely crushes her. It seems like a wasted opportunity too. Like, she's in this gymnasium setting and then turns her into a cockroach. Seems like you could have used some, I don't know, crushing treadmill-y shit. Let's see, here's Dan. As Dan is rushing to see Alice, he hears a voice on the radio that he recognizes as his mother. Blah, blah, blah. The truck suddenly begins to go amok as Freddy shows up in the passenger seat of the truck tormenting Dan. Dan tries to get into another truck but finds it locked, so he settles for a nearby motorcycle. Oh, this one's great. As he rides down the road, the bike transforms into Freddy and traps Dan, prohibiting him to escape, embedding him with wires, electrocuting him, and eventually turning him into a hideous-looking cyborg completely fused with the bike. He awakens in time to get involved in a head-on collision that kills him instantly. That was pretty cool. That was a good one. That was one that in the movie they had a lot of talk about the effects and stuff, but he basically becomes a motorcycle man. Which you're like, actually, this is pretty awesome. And then, you know, but Freddy's in control. So you're like, ah, shit. Now we're into five here at some point. Blah, blah, blah. Doobie-da. The dream starts out with Greta arguing with her mother about her eating habits when Freddy comes in and traps Greta in a modified high chair. He serves up a plate containing a self-image replica doll of herself, which he dubs a filet de Barbie, which he then cuts open and begins to force-feed its organs while the dream versions of the partygoers all laugh at her. Greta's cheeks swell up in size from the organs Freddy shoves into her mouth. Freddy then mocks her by saying, "You are what you eat," revealing that he has been feeding Greta her own organs the entire time. Greta starts crying in frustration and pain as Freddy mockingly holds her in his arms before shaking her violently. In the real world, Greta stands up and starts choking while her arms are shaking from Freddy's shaking her, but none of the partygoers understand what's going on. At Alice's home, Greta's dream self appears through her refrigerator door crying for help. There you go. Bon appetit, bitch. I don't know. It's like force feeding with people a bunch of stuff. That's, you know, I can't help but think of the Simpsons where he's in hell and eating a bunch of donuts. Mark Gray. While trying to stay awake, he's pulled into the dream world. The world is in black and white like the comic he was reading at the time, with only Mark in full color. Freddy taunts Mark with Greta's body and shows her as a broken doll. Enraged, Mark uses his dream power to become the comic book hero, the Phantom Prowler, and riddles Freddy with bullets. But soon, Freddy gets the upper hand by transforming into Super Freddy and turns Mark into paper and shreds him into pieces. In the real world, after he's killed, Mark, death appears on the previously blank comic book panels. Faster than a bastard maniac, more powerful than a loco madman, it's Super Freddy. This one was, yeah. This seems to be where, like, things started to get out of hand, right? Number five, and then Freddy's dead, which now we're into. Carlos. Freddy appears in the form of his mother, who slaps him not long before turning into Freddy and inserting a super-sized Q-tip through his ear. Freddy then slices off Carlos's eardrum and takes his hearing aid. I remember this, like, this kid was deaf or deaf in one ear or something. He then plays on Carlos's inability to hear by running behind him, dancing and shouting. When Carlos demands that Freddy give him back his hearing, Freddy complies, except the hearing aid acts as a parasite, latching onto Carlos's ear. It was like this weird spider thing and gave him this gross spider ear. The amplification of the hearing has been turned up, making even the quietest sounds, such as a faucet dripping and pins falling on the floor, 10 times louder. Freddy kills Carlos by scratching a chalkboard with a glove until his head explodes. Now, that was a good one. See, this is when I remember them being like, they spent a lot more time discussing how Freddy's going to kill people than they did, you know, what the fuck's happening in this movie. Here's Spencer Lewis, as played by Brecken Meyer. During Spencer's hallucinogenic state, he sees a brain on drugs spoof commercial with a cameo by Johnny Depp, believe it or not, where Freddy Krueger knocks out the host with a frying pan. Afterwards, Freddy produces a trippy background which extends out from the TV screen and sucks Spencer into the TV. In the real world, is severely broken. All right, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? Spencer finds himself in a video game. This is one I remember quite well. With the enemies being controlled by Freddy. The enemies of the game appear in the form of Spencer's dad, which repeatedly chant, "Be like me." This is like very Bill and Ted, isn't it? Spencer subdues the first enemy by beating him with his own tennis racket, but then a giant version of the enemy appears and knocks Spencer into a tree. Spencer then eats an apple off the tree, which transforms him into Super Spencer, where he shoots projectiles and destroys the enemies. Finally, an enemy in the form of Freddy whips Spencer with a towel towards the end of a cliff with multiple enemy dads. Tracy and John Doe find Freddy's room and unplug his controller. However, what they failed to realize was that Freddy was donning the power glove the entire time and whips Spencer with his towel, sending him into the crowd of enemies. So yeah, he's like, I remember, this is like a video game. They made it look just like a video game of the time, sort of. And this guy, like Breckin Meyer, is bouncing around crazily, you know, and it's like, he's got the power glove for some reason, which I guess is like a natural extension for Freddy, right? I mean, I guess it makes sense that he's like, if Freddy can use a glove with knife fingers effectively, like if that works for him somehow, I suppose it's not out of the question that he could actually make the power glove work. He could do the impossible and make the power glove a workable item. All right, now we've got John Doe. That's a creative one. He encounters Freddy, where he cockingly, Jesus, says he knows why he let him live. Unfortunately, it turns out that John wasn't Freddy's son, as Freddy slowly cuts into the parachute that John is holding onto. It's then revealed that Freddy only let him live long enough so he could become reunited with his daughter, Maggie. Realizing that he had been nothing more than a pawn, John falls to his death, screaming as he lands on a bed of spikes, impaling him. There you go. Then we have the ones from Wes Craven's New Nightmare. You know, it's like, impaled by Freddy's glove. Impaled by Freddy's glove. Freddy's glove comes through the seat of a car and kills this guy. Freddy murders her by stabbing her in the back. Blah, blah, blah. Sets Mark on fire. You know. And four slashes of his claws. So there you go. Those are the Freddy deaths. That's just a nice little review, huh, of what Freddy was up to. You know, I'm glad to see that, well, I don't know. I felt like there was room for more, right? There was room to get a little crazier. I mean, I feel like if Freddy was made now, you know, like Saw, most of why you go is to see these bizarre traps, right? And I feel like Freddy should have gone that way too, because you're like, oh, I want to see what kind of crazy shit's going to happen. But there just wasn't quite enough, in retrospect, to carry that many movies. How many times can I keep talking after I should be done? All right. That's all for today. From me and Dawkins. Have a good Tuesday, October 4th. And see you next time. AKA tomorrow.